Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Wisdom, right? What is wisdom? It's kind of a little bit of an elusive concept because, you know, a lot of times when people think about wisdom, they think simply about knowledge. And knowledge does play a really big role in terms of how to use wisdom, but knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. If they were, then we could very easily say that all smart people are very wise, and therefore all stupid people are very foolish. But I've met plenty of people in my life who maybe have achieved high academic degrees, but seemed to lack wisdom. And consequently, there are some people in the world who don't really have all that many degrees at all, or maybe they don't have any degrees. They never achieved any sort of like high academic standard, but yet they are filled with wisdom. Now, wisdom is more about how to use sound judgment. It's about being discerning. It's about applying the truth to real life situations. And that's very hard to do. The way in which the Bible speaks about wisdom goes even deeper than that. Right? Especially in our Proverbs 9 text for today, we get this little story about how wisdom is personified in this woman. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Wisdom has set together this banquet, and wisdom wants you to come to the banquet, to receive what is then set before you. It means that wisdom, according to Scripture, is not something you can take. It's not something that you can force. It is something that has to be given, something that has to be set before you, something that you can only receive. And the invitation is open. It's freely given. Anyone who is simple, come on in, receive from what wisdom has to give. Become more wise. The problem then with people who are unwise, it's not the fact that it's not available. It's not the fact that wisdom is somehow beyond their grasp. No, the problem is that they don't seek it. Or maybe they don't think they need it. Why might that be the case? I mean, the cheater's answer is just to say sin, and then I say amen and I sit down. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, we're going to dig a little deeper with a question. Are you wise? How much wisdom do you think you possess? And is that enough? Okay, maybe like this. How many of you are fools? See, here's the thing. Everybody wants to imagine that they are wise. It is very seldom that someone goes, oh yeah, no, I'm completely a fool. You know, jester in King's Court, that's me through and through. Right? We might admit that occasionally we'll do some foolish things. We might admit that, you know, from time to time, I maybe I didn't act entirely with wisdom in my past. But none of us really like to advertise ourselves as fools. But therein lies the problem. Wisdom's invitation wasn't to those who considered themselves to be wise enough, or those who had a little bit of wisdom. It wasn't for anybody except what the Scriptures call the simple. Right? Those who perceive that they don't have wisdom. And then, in fact, even throughout the Scriptures, we get all these warnings, right? Isaiah 5, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Right, later in Proverbs, in chapter 26, we get, do you see a man who is wise and in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. If we consider that we have some sort of wisdom within ourselves, we're in big trouble. Remember who the invitation goes out to. Whoever is simple. Let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense. We don't like to admit that. We don't want to be considered simple. We don't want to admit that we lack sense, but this is who we are. You really want to know how to gain more wisdom in your life? There's only one way. That's what you're waiting for, right? Humility. That's it. To be humble. To admit that you are simple. To admit that you are inadequate. To admit that you lack wisdom. Only then can you become more wise. This is what Solomon did. You know, Solomon's actually the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. And what did he do? But when he was given the throne as a child, he told God, right? He said, I am but a child. Allow me to increase in understanding. Allow me to increase in discernment. Allow me the ability to rule. He recognized he didn't have any of those things within himself. He didn't even have a modicum of the wisdom that he needed to be king over God's people, Israel. And what does God do when he humbles himself and admits his lack of wisdom? God blessed his humility. He became the wisest king that Israel ever had until Christ appeared. We ought to take a page out of Solomon's book, or I guess a chapter. Chapter 9 of Proverbs, which is Solomon's book. Seems like a good place to start, right? To humble ourselves, to recognize that we are the simple, that we do lack wisdom. Because only then do we receive more. Because it goes on. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. We need to fear God. Not like fear and trembling under his wrath, but fear is in like honor and respect and recognizing that when he speaks, we ought to listen. Jesus even fleshes this out more in the gospel reading, right? He goes on about saying how all these people who ate their fill of the loaves, these 5,000 who miraculously ate on the hillside, and he goes, you know what? Great miracle, but I'm not here to give you the bread of this earth. I am here to be the bread of heaven, the bread that gives eternal life. Knowledge of the Holy One, that's knowledge of the Christ that was to come. That's knowledge of who Jesus actually is. That's the confession of the disciples at the end of our gospel text. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But not everybody can humble themselves to receive that message. Many of those who had followed Jesus stopped following him after that sermon. They couldn't handle the fact that his flesh would be eaten. They couldn't handle the fact that Jesus would have to die and shed his blood. And so today, many too can't either. The source of all wisdom is so readily available to us. We have these Bibles, right? They're easy to come by. The church has given them away. Anybody need a Bible? Anybody not have one? The church will buy you one. Free. Yeah, everybody got one of these, right? These cell phones. The Bible is immediately available to all of us. It's not that we can't get to it. It's that sometimes we don't perceive that we need it. We don't seek God's wisdom. Let's not be foolish. Because when Jesus was offering himself as the bread of life and many people left them behind, they were fools. They gave up eternal life. They gave up following the truth, even though it was right in front of them. Which brings us again back to ourselves. God is the one who has brought you here today. For whatever reason, this is the place and this is the time that God has chosen to invest his wisdom into you. When we hear the scriptures read, yes, our ears, they are feasting on God's word. We are receiving his wisdom. The Lord's Supper. I mentioned it in our children's sermon this morning. Does it really sound smart? Does it really sound right that a little piece of bread, that you say some words over it, and somehow that becomes Christ's body for the forgiveness of sins? According to worldly wisdom, according to worldly knowledge, that sounds like foolishness. Baptism, right? We witnessed a few of those this year too, right? A little bit of water gets sprinkled on a baby's head or even an adult, really. And it's combined with God's word, and according to the world, that's foolishness. That's stupid. That doesn't do anything. It's a simple rite that you throw out there. But for us, for those of us who have been given God's wisdom and have knowledge of his Holy One and who Jesus actually is, we know that this does great things for us. Because God's word is powerful, and it accomplishes what it says it accomplishes. Does the cross look smart? Would any of us sacrifice one of our children for the sins of the world? That's what God does. In his infinite wisdom, he knows that he must send his son Jesus to bleed and to die for you. And it doesn't make any sense according to what we can learn on our own. But when God's wisdom gets poured into our ears, we know it's our salvation. We know it's our hope. The wisdom of this world, it's folly with God. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. This is what's at stake. This is where we are. God's wisdom being poured out through his word, and the unbelievers in the world, they don't get it. They truly are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight, and they don't even realize what they need. They don't know their great need for God and his word. At the beginning of the sermon, I tried to define wisdom to a certain extent for you, using sound judgment, proper discernment, or, you know, especially the last one, applying the truth to real life situations. My friends, God has instilled his wisdom into us. We are those who know and believe who Jesus is. We are those who have our sins forgiven by him week by week. But there's still the application. What fools would we be if God instilled his word into us here and we didn't use it in our daily lives? What fools would we be if we received God's wisdom and then when those opportunities for us to share it with the unbelieving world pop up and we fail to rise to the occasion? No, God has good use of us. Maybe that's his challenge for you today. You are forgiven. You are those who have been covered with the blood of Christ. But having that wisdom now, let's take it out. Let's go deliver it to the simple and unbelieving world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your wisdom in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.